The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Some people told Jesus about the Galileans, whose blood Pilate had mingled with the blood of their sacrifices. Jesus said to them in reply, "Do you think that because these Galileans suffered in this way, they were greater sinners than all other Galileans? By no means. But I tell you, if you do not repent, you will all perish as they did. Or those 18 people who were killed when the Tower of Siloam fell on them, do you think they were more guilty than everyone else who lived in Jerusalem? By no means. But I tell you, if you do not repent, you will all perish as they did." And he told them this parable. "There once was a person who had a fig tree planted in his orchard, and when he came in search of fruit on it, but found none, he said to the gardener, 'For 3 years now I have come in search of fruit on this fig tree, but have found none, so cut it down. Why should it exhaust the soil?' He said to him in reply, 'Sir, leave it for this year also, and I shall cultivate the ground around it and fertilize it so that it may bear fruit in the future. If not, you can cut it down.'" The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
One of the wonderful things about being human is we can come to know the world around us and know ourselves and answer that question, why? Among other things, we can see the connection between things. Cause and effect, it can help us do amazing things like travel to the moon. But even at a more immediate level, it helps us at times to try and enjoy life, know what gives pleasure and how to avoid pain at times. I remember growing up, I loved roller coasters. That feeling going really fast and dropping. I go on it, let's do that again. There are certain things that it's easy to see the cause and effect, the connection. I knew what caused that experience. It was going on the roller coaster, let's do it again. We even have experiences of kind of things that we share with some of the other animals, almost at an instinctual level. We learn that, and rightly so. We learn that putting our hand in the fire or on a hot stove brings pain, and how to avoid that. But some causes and effect are a little bit more difficult to see, and they take more work and certainly get errors. That's why it took a long time to get to the moon, among other reasons. Jesus talks about one today when it comes to really our lives in general, our relationships with him, and sin and the consequences of sin. I guess there were some people who were told Pilate maybe killed, but he mingled their blood with the sacrifices. So kind of actually an act of kind of religious persecution against these Jews from Galilee, but also this great offense. And these people telling Jesus, we're not told exactly why, but it seems because of his response, maybe they thought, or he sensed that there were those thinking, well, that happened to them, this awful thing happened to them because they did something wrong. It's because of some really bad sins they committed. Jesus says, no. By no means. That's not how God works. He goes on to say, too, that there was a building that collapsed in Jerusalem. People died, 18 people died. Was it because they were worse sinners than everybody else? No. Sometimes that thought can be there. I remember years ago with Hurricane Katrina, but went through New Orleans. Thousands of people died, hundreds of thousands lost their homes, and lives profoundly adversely affected. I remember someone, one of our separated brothers, and Protestant minister, pastor of some sort, but he came out publicly and said, that happened to them because of all of the sins that people in Orleans commit. We can say definitively, no, that's not how God works when it comes to our lives. Not that long ago, that apartment building collapsed in Florida. There's people that lost their lives. That didn't happen because of specific sins they committed. That's not the cause and effect. That's not how God works. And yet Jesus takes this situation, and we hear about it today, to help us to make a connection there, because he does go on to say there is a connection between our sins, our actions, those that are wrong, apart from God, and death. In general, that is the fact, the fruit of sin is death. That's why he says we have to repent, to open up our hearts to that change of mind and heart, that repentance on our heart, but God's mercy and forgiveness to receive that. He doesn't say it here specifically, Jesus, but we know in other places he makes it clear too that it's not just physical death that's the concern or the effect of sin, but eternal death, hell. And God tells us all of that. Jesus reveals all of that, not to just make us feel bad or certainly put us in a place of discouragement or hopelessness, but so we can respond well, so we don't end up there. So that's not the final word. So Jesus goes on to give this image, this parable of us as trees, as fruit trees, and of himself as a gardener and as the father of the owner of the fruit trees, the fig trees in this case. And this reminder that our lives, you, were made to bear fruit. That's a great thing. And more amazing than anything else is this gardener in the parable, I would suggest. You think about Jesus, because it is Jesus. But if you've ever had fruit trees, or maybe you do have fruit trees, or maybe you just do vegetable gardening of some sort, but you do, it takes a lot of work. And you do all of that so that the plant, the tree, bears fruit. It's a goal. That's why you have it. You might grow flowers for your prettiness, but that's not why you have a fruit tree. And yet here, this fruit tree has borne no fruit. And the gardener's response is, leave it still. I'm going to keep working. Give me more time. I'm going to do everything I can. And we know Jesus just doesn't put in a little extra effort. Jesus pours out everything. The Son becomes one of, gives up his life for us so we can bear fruit. So there's a way forward. So why does Jesus talk in this way? It's so that we can know the right thing. Certainly so we can not have false images of who God is and how he acts, but also so we can choose well, so we can bear fruit. Because unlike a fruit tree, which just does bear fruit or doesn't bear fruit, there's a lot it can do, we have a role to play, don't we? Because we're made in God's image and likeness, free will, and are able to know and to love. And so what's our role, or how can we open up our hearts? Because we hear all of this in the season of Lent, of course, to be able to respond more fruitfully to God's word, to his love for us, to his plan. And I'd suggest a couple of things. One, that's something to be aware of, something that at times maybe we have to repent of as well to bring to the Lord, and then the positive. And our second reading gives us something that God wants us to be aware of. In fact, he specifically says here, it's for our example. And that's the people of Israel. It's one of the reasons why we hear about their story and what they went through so many thousands of years ago and some of the things they experienced, which I haven't, I don't have any expectation to experience directly, but why do we hear about it? Because we do go through something that they go through that we need to know. And so think about the story of the Israelites. We heard different parts of it in both our first reading and reminded in our second. And I'm sure all of us hopefully know something about that, right? But they're slaves in Egypt. And here God intervenes, just as the gardener goes first in working on the fruit tree, coming to us. All right, he sends Moses, and God works mightily, does those 10 plagues, and brings all of his people out of Israel. Nothing they did. God makes that clear, that he's stronger than any of the Egyptian gods that are there. And then, of course, they're there at this, between the Red Sea and Pharaoh's army. Pretty desperate situation, and what does God do? He opens up that sea, right? And he leads them through on dry land, and then he destroys Pharaoh's army. And literally weeks later, just a couple of months later, they're there at Mount Horeb, where Moses saw the burning bush, and God is giving Moses the law, and it's at that point, but then again and again after that, they struggle with the same thing. They're in a new situation, a situation where there's a need, and yet instead of turning to the Lord and just crying out in their need, asking him, looking to him, as Paul said, they grumble, they complain, basically at the heart of Adam, they rebel, and they doubt God's faithfulness and goodness and presence in that moment. So they take things into their own hands. And there are real needs. And sometimes they didn't have any water. That's why Paul talks about this rock that was Christ. Those that strikes a rock, water flows out of that rock. But it's something that they were never able to overcome on their own, was this inability to really trust in God, have their faith and their hope in God. That God, who now has put them in a new situation of need, is just as faithful and just as good and just as present and just as powerful to save as he was yesterday, 2 weeks ago, 2 months ago, however long it was. And sometimes in their story, in their time in Israel, or in the desert, it was just a day later at times. But Paul says, we hear about that so we can. One of the things that God calls us to have a different mind and heart about, because we all face that. Indeed, that's part of how we grow in faith and hope, is trust in the Lord in our need. That we cry out, absolutely. But then we turn to the Lord with that confidence, and we don't rebel, we don't take it into our own hands. We say, well, God, how could you do this to me? And you're not here, and there's somehow it's hopeless. And so to learn from that, it is at times that to be able to, perhaps where we recognized where that's been at play, to turn to the Lord with that repentance. Ask forgiveness. To see that God leads us into those situations, he allows those oftentimes precisely so that we can know his goodness and his faithfulness, and that he's there and we can let him do what he wants to do. And part of the fruit that we bear is being childlike in that regard, trusting in the faithfulness, that hope. The plus side, on the positive side, it's simply to see the things that we already are trying to do, especially in Lent, are the very things that help make us bear good fruit. Those works of faith or of fasting and prayer and almsgiving. The goal is that fruit of reconciliation, of being in union with God, with one another, with ourselves, that deep healing, and the ability to love like others. And so as even the opening prayer was that prayer and fasting and almsgiving is given to us as a remedy for sin, but it's a way that we open up our hearts. Sometimes that prayer is coming to God for his mercy. As I've said from Ash Wednesday on, but go to confession this Lent. Got some extra times throughout Lent here and at St. Robert's, and next Sunday from 3 o'clock, really 3 to 6, but 3 to 5 with other priests here, but an extended time to go to confession. To be able to respond and to say, this is why Jesus came, and he's that good gardener. He wants us to bear fruit. But also to see the great gift of being able to respond. My prayer, my fasting, my acts of mercy and love to others, they're why we are made. They help us to become the people we need to be. God says there is not a connection between, at times, evils done to us or bad things that happen. About the war going on in the Ukraine, it's not because the people of Ukraine did something evil. Oh, they must have done something really bad. No, God says, I don't work that way. But rather, it's to see the reality of sin in our lives and in the world, to acknowledge it does have an effect, and to turn to the Lord. He's that good gardener. And so we have this opportunity always to open up our hearts to bear fruit that lasts.